This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:40 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. And we're moving on to Today on Twitter, where it's about Bahasa Malaysia and its use in official functions abroad. So this came or stemmed from Michelle Yasudas on Twitter, who said that making Bahasa Malaysia the main language during official functions abroad would lead to exclusionary and isolating situations. She pointed out that Malaysians are known to be multilingual and adaptive people, and that a blanket ban would discourage these traits and reduce the chances of officials being relatable in an accessible language. And while some people agreed with her, honestly, many others did not. So to look through the points that are being brought up, we have this from James Vasanthan, who says, though I understand your thoughts, contentiously, would we ask the same of the French, Germans, or even Chinese to be multilingual in their official communications? I believe the idea here is to strengthen and further extend the reach of BM, which we as speakers should be proud of. Meanwhile, Muhammad Sidki says, I don't know how you can see world leaders preferring to speak their respective languages in official functions despite knowing English. But when we want to do the same, it's a bad thing. We also have the usual comparisons being made to Japanese, Koreans, Germans. Melissa Ali saying, Japanese and Koreans don't have any problems in this. It's nothing isolating. It's just your mindset when you listen to foreign language and you feel uncomfortable. Hilmi says, being multilingual, as you said, perfectly justifies the use of national and official languages in functions because everyone supposedly can understand and speak it. In fact, the inability to speak Malay itself is the one that is exclusionary and isolating. Meanwhile, we have others who are viewing this perhaps more as the government forcing language on the people. But I think I do want to go back to the original point that was being made about when exactly this is being encouraged or mandated. So when we talk about official functions abroad, I think generally it comes down to things like meetings or dinners, official speeches, things like that. And it is true. And I think that each of those situations, right, is going to differ. So, for example, if you're making a speech or if you're making a point at an assembly or a meeting, I don't think that there's actually anything wrong with speaking in Bahasa in the sense that you do see other people doing the same. They have interpreters and, you know, it's not something that is necessarily unusual or people are unused to. I think, though, when it comes to the less formal sections of the meetings or the gatherings or what have you, when people are talking, when, you know, diplomatic work is being done in those areas as well, there's nothing wrong with speaking a language which perhaps more members of the party would understand in an international setting, you know, something like English, for instance. So, yeah, I think it really depends on what exactly we're referring to in terms of official functions abroad and what that covers. But let us know what you think. I mean, how do you feel about Bahasa Malaysia being made to be the main language used during official functions abroad? Are you for it? Are you against it? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Banish fraudulent manoeuvres. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, it's 5:49. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. And it's time now to look back at the messages that we've been getting. It's an interesting day today. We have this from Madiha, who says, our Edinburgh Malaysian Students Association and Families held an AGM last December. The event was advertised in atrocious English, despite being actually conducted in Malay. To add further embarrassment, it was held on university grounds with numerous posters plastered glaringly for all to see. The worst part, the horrible ads were written by the supposed principal of the Malaysian school in Edinburgh. All you need is Grammarly and some standards. Otherwise, just use BM. It is perfectly fine. Facepalm. And yeah, I think that that is definitely the undertone to this discussion. Firstly, I mean, whenever I see these sorts of things, it is problematic. On the one hand, I do think that the important thing with language, I'm not so interested in gatekeeping, right? I think the important thing with language at any given point is that you can be understood. However, when it is in an official setting and you are trying to portray a certain sense of what you stand for and you're an academic institution, then I think all those things matter quite a bit more. We also have Ravin who says, on this issue, I don't understand why there needs to be a policy. If someone is comfortable using the same language as the majority, use it. If not, use Malay. Why do we need a policy? And again, I think this goes back to perhaps why some people are feeling like this is an issue that is being forced upon everybody. I agree, though. I do think, as I said earlier, I think that the use of language, especially in a diplomatic setting, it's so heavily related to the job. It's so heavily related to how you relate and come across to other people that having the flexibility to choose and decide in the moment is probably the better way to go. We also have this from Amar who says, this move is to prevent MPs and ministers from international embarrassment. We are moving backwards for sure, which I think speaks a little bit to the point that was raised by Madiha earlier about the use of language and how things come across. We also have Dr. J who says, shouldn't language usage come with pride? Maybe the problem is closer to home than at foreign meetings. Practice makes perfect, and maybe our politicians should listen to themselves during Popit Popit Parliament. It doesn't instill a lot of pride with the language spoken. Please fix the problems inside out and not try to do it outside in. And I think this is such a wonderful point, partly because the main argument in favour of using Bahasa in these settings is, as we said earlier, right, to kind of be proud of our national language and give it an international stage. But you're right. I think that there is a lot more work that needs to be done in that area internally, as opposed to just focusing on what happens internationally. We also have Steve who says, use in the international arena is not logical at all. We can always use English language overseas as most people are fluent in English. If on the local front, then it's okay. I agree that it shouldn't be imposed on people. And by the way, I'm fluent in BM as well. So I see this. I do think that there is actual value in having people listen to speeches in Bahasa in an official setting. Like, you know, all the other examples have been brought up, right? We have interpreters, we have all sorts of things in every which direction. So it's not as if it's uncommon. But I think the display of multilingualness and of not saying that the entire thing has to be in Bahasa, that every interaction you have must be in Bahasa, that perhaps is also part of it. Because taking pride, not just in our national language, but in the fact that we speak many languages in the country is also a beautiful thing. Keep those thoughts coming, whether it is about the yelling and interrupting that happened in Parliament today, or the use of Bahasa Malaysia in official functions abroad specifically. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.